for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, December the 26th, 1990. Holiday Week Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter is the speaker of the afternoon. Linda Sutter is going to come and teach this afternoon the Word of the Lord. And then we will, here at the campground, we practice as best we can at the end of the teaching what's taught. And we will do that again this afternoon, I'm sure. Father, come this afternoon in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask for your anointing and your spirit to flow and move through Linda as she ministers your word. Yes. May the word of the Lord come that will bring deliverance and restoration and healing, that which is needed in the hearts and lives of those that are present here today that, or shall ever hear this tape. And Father, I stand as a priest in this place. And I take authority over every evil spirit, and I bind it in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes,
and I take dominion over it in Jesus' name. And I take authority over you, and I break your hold and take your authority away over every person present in this place that shall ever hear this tape. And I break the curse of your ancestral heritage over you, and I loose you from it in Jesus' name. And I loose these spirits and ask for the angels of the Lord to come and bind them up and keep them till Jesus judges them at the day of judgment. Father, I thank you for hearing our petitions, and I thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving through Linda with the anointing of the living God this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians today. I'm going to read several scriptures that are very common to us, but we want to use this today as a base for what I want to talk about, and maybe among some other things, one of the things I want to want to address is, how can a Christian be a target for Satan's darts? How can we open ourselves up so that Satan gets a foothold? Now, I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read starting at the 10th verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And you know, that's something we have to remind ourselves of every day, that our struggle is not against personalities, it's not against another member of your family or somebody you work with or whatever. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you, can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. God has put within you what is necessary to put out those flaming arrows. That's the thing we can shout about this afternoon. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me. That was the way Paul is saying. Here he is writing all of this and telling them what to do. And then he turns right around and says, and you pray for me. And that needs to be the attitude of our hearts. You know, we don't come along so far in God that we're beyond prayer. You know, you can be casting out devils and bringing down strongholds and asking mountains to be removed and the whole business. And still, it should be the desire of our heart that we have the saints of God praying for us. We're not in this walk alone. We don't make it alone. I mean, it's me and Jesus, and it's you and Jesus, but we need that edification that comes about through the prayers of our brothers and sisters for us. And I'll tell you what, I really think that is a key to our continued walk in victory, that we want other people and we covet the prayers of other people on our behalf.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm going to talk, and there are those that are here that are far more capable in this area than I am. But I believe that in the last few years I've learned a few things in the area of witchcraft and how to keep ourselves free and how to get free and how to recognize the darts that the enemy would want to shoot at us as we walk with God. And I'll tell you, I am convinced of one thing, that a lot of times we won't feel the darts of the enemy, we won't sense them until we really launch out in our walk with God. Now, the devil may have been there all the time, but until we're going to give him some trouble and take some ground that has been his, he may not bother us all that much.
Right.
You know, about a year ago, I was out west having some meetings in a church in Idaho, and one day I ministered to the Christian school, the high school. There was maybe about 150 young people in the Christian high school that they had. And it was kind of hard ministering to these young people. I mean, whether they wanted to be interested, if they were interested, they didn't show it. You know, they sat there and chewed their gum and looked at the floor and, you know, looked at their fingernails and looked at one another's pictures in their wallets and things like that. And I'm trying to talk to them, wondering if anything was happening, if anything was getting through. And finally, at the end, when I gave an invitation for people to be set free, out of the 130 or 40, 50 kids, over 100 of them stayed for prayer. So I was rather pleased to see that the words that had been spoken had gotten through to most of them. And finally at the end, after praying for over 100 of these young people, one girl had stayed behind and she came forward, wanted to talk to me. And she said, you know, she says, I had a dream last night, and the dream was about a lady, and the lady looked exactly like you. And she says, I heard a voice speak to me, have nothing to do with her, she's not of God. She told me that. I'll tell you, she couldn't have given me a bigger compliment. There would have been a time when that would have knocked me for a loop, you know. But I'll tell you, I considered it a compliment because I figured that I was treading on the devil's territory. And she had had a lot of problems. She had gone through a lot of deliverance. She had been involved in a lot of witchcraft in her young life. And so the voice that she had heard, and at first, she had thought it was the voice of God. And when she had gotten up in the morning, she was quite convinced it was the voice of the Lord. And she came and she talked to the superintendent and the principal of the school while I am teaching. And they said, you need to stay after and have her pray for you. She is of God. Well, that, like I said, made me feel real good. And I want to say that there are a number of promises that God has for us. He says that his sheep will hear his voice and another they will not follow. And there's a number of ways we can tell when God is speaking to us. First of all, and I just want to interject this here, when we hear a voice speaking to us, number one, does it line up with the Scripture?
Right. Amen.
I mean, that is so basic, we should all know that. But I've been surprised at how many people and Christians there have been that have been taken in by a voice that has sounded good. In fact, when I was pastoring in northeastern Wisconsin, the man who I considered my chief leader next to myself, I had a lot of confidence in him. I put him in a place of authority. He had a prophetic ministry and a prophetic gift, and he came to prayer meeting one night. And he mentioned to the whole group about how he had had an out-of-body experience the day before on the job. And he said he was working and this man came to him. He says, my spirit was lifted out of my body and this man was talking with me. He said he was very good looking. He was very persuasive. And he said he almost persuaded me. And what he was telling this man to do was to have nothing to do with me. or my leadership or the place that I had been put there in that fellowship. And there was a lot of other things that this spirit was saying to him at the same time to discredit me. And he said, at first he says, I was listening to this, and all of a sudden he says, something rose up in me, and he says, I knew it wasn't God, but he said it was so persuasive at first. And he says, we need to take a stand with our sister and really pray for her and lift her up. And I appreciated that. But I thought it was interesting that when the devil came, he didn't come to somebody else in the church, but he came to the one that I had the most confidence in and carried the most authority besides myself. And I'm thankful that he knew enough of the word and had enough discerning of spirits to recognize that this was not of God. And yet, you know, the scripture tells us that in the last days, you know, the deception that will come forth would want to deceive the very elect. So that tells me that every single one of us, no matter who we are, have to be on guard to the things that we may hear with our literal ear or the ear of our spirit.
Amen.
The other thing, and I read this in Ephesians chapter 6, because this is the admonition to us that we always have to be prepared. We always have to be clothed. We always have to have the garments of the Lord on us. We always have to have the breastplate on. And all of us have probably heard sermons about putting on the breastplate. And I am confident that if we keep all of these things in place, and we keep prayed up and we keep praying in the Spirit, we are going to be fairly well protected. But how many of you at one time or another haven't let the guard down just a little bit? I've let the guard down at times, not always realizing it, but just getting a little bit lax in my walk with the Lord. And then there's another reason sometimes that I think that, in fact, I know why there has been an opening for a counterfeit spirit to get in and try to sway me, or I've been susceptible to an occult spirit. Not only because I've maybe had my guard down a little bit. And I want to say something. I believe that Pentecostal, full gospel, spirit-filled, charismatic Christians are the number one target for the enemy. And I believe we're the number one target, especially in the area of being influenced by occult spirits. Because we're already open to the spirit realm. I remember in the church I went to when I was in Bible college, the pastor told me one night, you know, we were just a little group. We were a small group of people, not even 20 people there for a long time. And what was good about that is that the three young people that were involved in that group of 20 or so, he gave us all of his attention. After church at night, we'd go back to the pastor's house and they'd bring out the teapot and we'd sit around the kitchen table and we would drink tea. And he would tell us the things that we were going to encounter in the ministry. And I'll tell you, that was a wonderful preparation for me. And one night we were sitting around the table after church talking about the things of the Lord. And he began talking to us about these things. And he had been at a fellowship meeting somewhere. And a lady had come up and had shook hands with him. Had shaken, maybe is better terminology. And as she shook hands with him, she said, you know, you have a tremendous ability within you to be a medium. And she meant a spiritist medium. Now here was a man who was filled with the Spirit. He was a preacher. He'd gone through Bible school. Moved in the gifts of the Spirit. And she could tell by shaking hands with him that he was open to the spirit realm. If you have been baptized in the Spirit, you have opened yourself up to the supernatural realm of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, we can also be influenced by the other. Am I making myself clear on this?
Amen.
He told us those things. It gave me some insight. And I can say, again, everything that he told us that we would encounter, I have encountered as I have walked with the Lord. One of the things that can be a problem in our lives, and was a problem in my life, and we have talked about this a great deal here at Lake Hamilton, is the fact that we can be very susceptible if there is or have been occult practices in our family background. Because it brings a weakness in the bloodline in that area. The scripture tells us that when somebody has practiced the occult or has gotten involved in the occult, and I did not know this until far too late, or if I had heard it, I had not paid attention to it, that it brings a curse on our bloodline for four generations. Now, a generation in the scripture is considered 40 years. So when we talk about curses on generations and a four-generation curse, we're talking about 160 years. Now, 160 years ago, most of my family was in Europe. And probably many of your family members were in Europe. And if they weren't in Europe, very possibly you have American Indian ancestry. And if you have American Indian ancestry, there have been occult practices in your bloodline. You can count on it. There is no exception.
Right.
And I really don't think there's much of an exception for any of us.
Nope.
That in our backgrounds, there have been occult practices. Now, my family, most of them came from Norway. My direct descendants were all Viking marauders. They were all involved in occult practices. Just a year ago, I was in Iceland. Iceland is considered a Scandinavian country, and most of them are Lutheran. 90% of the people are Lutheran. Yet, if you will pick up a National Geographic that talks about the history of Iceland, as I did a while back, the author of that article said, and I know this to be true, that about more than 50% of the people of Iceland, although more than 90% is Lutheran, more than 50% of them still believe in and many still practice some of the pagan practices of the people that lived 1,000 years ago in Iceland and believe in many of these things. Yet they still are members of the church. I can say that I have seen that to be true in Norway. I've seen it to be true in Sweden. I haven't been in Finland, and I haven't spent much time in Denmark, but that's where my people came from. And so when my grandparents came to this country back at just before the turn of this century, they had been influenced by pagan practices and occult practices. My grandmother used to always have premonitions. She would have dreams. Both of my grandmothers did, on my father's side of the family and on my mother's side of the family. They would have premonitions. They would have hunches. I want to tell you, I don't believe those things were of the Spirit of God. And they would make decisions, and the family would do things based on the premonitions of my grandmother. When I began to spend more time with my family in the last few years, and they haven't been into Pentecostal services, all of my people are Lutheran, and I talked about the Lord would show me something, they would just laugh or snicker and say, "You're just like your grandmother." And I have not yet even been able to convince some of them that there is a difference between moving in the gifts of the Spirit and being influenced by premonitions.
Mm-hmm.
Premonitions are not of God. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Another member of my family, my grandmother's oldest daughter, my mother's sister, my aunt, all of her life has been afflicted, and I'm going to say afflicted, by premonitions. Because if you will talk to her children, you will find that it's been very difficult for them because of the premonitions that she has. Knowing that it's never anything good that's going to happen, it's always something bad, and that ought to give us a clue right there that something is wrong.
Yeah, right.
When somebody only sees bad things about other people or thinks, I believe it is coming from a wrong spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
So my grandmother had these spirits working in her, occult spirits. My aunts has had these working in her. My mother, who is now has passed away, had these same type of spirits working in her. And I'll tell you, we didn't have teaching on this. But the time came when my mother needed healing, and she knew about that full gospel people. We had been exposed to full gospel people and full gospel teaching. And she knew that she could have gone to church and been anointed with oil and been prayed for healing. But she didn't do it. Instead, she went to a psychic healer and drove 200 miles away to have hands laid on her by a psychic healer for the problems that she had. I know that she wasn't realizing, had no idea the danger that was involved in that, what she was doing to the rest of our family. Because that just continued to propagate the curse that has been on my family line.
Right.
A few months ago, I was visiting my sister and my niece, spending a few days with them, and they began, and I had been feeling very much in my spirit that I was to talk to them about some of these things. And so I said, well, Lord, now you just open the door. And you know, when God wants you to do something, He'll open a door. And they began to ask me questions one night as we were just sitting in the living room. And it all had to do in this area of the occult. And we began to have manifestations of demonic activity in the living room as we were talking about this. And I said that, and I began to share with them how they could break that curse over their lives. How I had broken it over my life. Because later on, as I began to move out in the ministry, I became aware of tremendous satanic forces that were warring against me and practically stopped me from ever going into the ministry full time. You know, you can do something part time. But when you really, you know, and God was speaking to me about going full time with this thing, and Satan was just there ready to trip me up in this very area of the occult, in the area of witchcraft, before I ever really got going to get me off course and to keep me from doing what I know God has called me to do. Now, I've never shared this testimony, I don't believe, to this extent as I am with you this afternoon, because I believe it's going to be victory for some of you and more victory for me. So I have a twofold purpose in this. Now, I want us to turn over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18. Because these were the scriptures. This is the word that God gave to Israel of old. Chapter 18. And He's telling them that when they go in to possess the land, He says, let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens. See, that's what, you know, premonitions are. You know, interpreting omens. If you look up in the Webster's Dictionary what a premonition is, it will tell you that it is a feeling of impending doom or something bad. Premonition is not good. So interpreting omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out all those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Now, I was a Christian. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues. I prophesied. God had spoke to me and had used me in the gifts of the Spirit. And yet there was, if I can put it this way, a kink in my armor. The reason I had a kink in my armor partially was due to the fact that this curse was on my family bloodline. I will not put all of the blame on that. I have to put some of the blame on myself, because you know what I did when I first got out of high school? A friend of mine gave me a Ouija board. I had not had instruction in this. I hadn't been told of the things that would accompany this type of thing. I was living in a rooming house, going to school, living with, you know, about 18, 20 other girls that were about the same age as I am. And I want to tell you, when that Ouija board came in that house, utter pandemonium broke loose and did not stop till that Ouija board got out of that house. I had to repent, and I have repented many times. Of that. But more than repenting, you also have to break the curse that you brought upon yourself when you brought that into your life. There are two areas where curses come upon a bloodline that have affected all of us, I believe. I don't believe any one of us is exempt here this afternoon.
No, no way.
And witchcraft carries this curse of four generations. and immorality, illegitimate birth, brings a curse of for 10 generations upon your bloodline. And that has to be broken by you. Nobody else can do it. I don't believe. I believe you have to do it. You came to Jesus Christ. You asked Jesus to come into your heart. Nobody else could ask Jesus to come into your heart for you. They could pray for you. And they could, be interceding, constantly interceding for you. But you had to come to the cross by yourself. And other people can pray with you, but you have to, with your lips, I believe, break the curse that has been on your life because of occult practices. Or what else, whatever else they might be. When you are a responsible adult and are of age, so to speak, you are responsible, you have to do it. And we'll agree? And that's why when we pray this afternoon, we break curses. You break the curses that have been on your life. I have to underline that 3 times. Now, the question always is, and people have said this to me, and it's all, it gets to be almost laughable sometimes in some cases, because we see people out here living like they want, saying they're Christians. And say, well, I'm protected if I'm walking in Jesus. I'm protected. I've given my life to Jesus. I'm protected. Well, I think, that is true in one sense. He is our protection. If we are walking and if we don't have any king, if we've taken back all the ground that's been given Satan, the scripture says, Paul wrote it, that nothing is able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, neither principalities nor powers, and it goes on and on. The thing, he will protect us, but first of all, we've got to take back the ground that's been given Satan in the first place.
Right.
Renounce the things that are hidden. That's another one of the Apostle Paul's lines. He says, we've renounced the things that are hidden. Have you renounced the things that have been hidden in your life? And sometimes Christian people, we think that, we can just live a carefree life, keep the armor on and just go along and do what we want and live for ourselves. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of carnal Christians. And I don't believe a carnal Christian is safe from the darts of the enemy. I mean, we have to be walking around. The devil, what does Paul say? The devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to devour anybody who says that they're a child of God. And so I had to come to the place I had repented of the sins associated with the occult, but I had not broken the curses that were over my life. Now, if you look over in the book of Galatians chapter 5, we see that witchcraft is mentioned as one of the acts of the sinful nature. And that word witchcraft there is from the word, I believe, that means that's associated with drugs, pharmakia. If you've been involved in drugs, you have been touched by witchcraft.
That's right.
If you have ever taken drugs, you have been touched by witchcraft. If you have gotten drunk, you have opened yourself up to witchcraft. I had a friend who was a heroin addict for 13 years, back in the 50s and 60s, before there was much drug addiction like there is now. 13 years... she was on drugs. People used to ask her why. She used to give her testimony a lot, and she said, I wanted to feel good. People get drunk because they want to feel good or they want to forget their problems. People take drugs for the same reason. They want to feel good. They want to have some kind of etheric experience or maybe a number of reasons. It opens up your spirit to the spirit realm and the realm of the occult. So I had to break the curses that I had brought on my life. There had been a weakness, an inherent weakness, because of the sins of my ancestors. I want to read this in Galatians 5. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. We read this the other night. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, and orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's a lot about the occult that doesn't make sense to me. There's a lot that I don't understand with my natural reasoning. Back at a time when I was so seriously touched by it, I thought it was a bunch of baloney. It was something that didn't make sense. I never realized the depths of confusion that I would go into because I was touched by it, because I was open to it. But I could look back and I could see, because I had never renounced that curse that was on my life, that over a period of years I was very susceptible because of other people that were around me. Now, I mentioned in a service just recently how people that were spiritists used to like to come to my meetings. They liked the way that I could sing and lead worship. I've gotten so I recognize that now. When somebody is of that order, I recognize that. I used to think, well, let them be in the presence of the Lord. Let them sit here and sing with me if they want to. It's not going to hurt anything. Didn't hurt them, but I'll tell you what, it really hurt me. And just little by little, the resistance was, there hadn't been much resistance in the first place, and Maybe the inroad for the devil to get in just got wider and wider by not taking a stand against that which was very obviously, sometimes not so obviously, evil and of the wrong realm and of the wrong spirit. People liked to be where I was singing because they said they could feel the Spirit. Remember what the lady said to my pastor, how he was open to the spirit realm? They are open, the spiritists are open to the spirit realm. I used to read astrology. You know, I thought it was a joke. You open up the funny paper, there it is right next to Dagwood. So you look and you see what the horoscope says. You are opening yourself up to the occult if you read the horoscope, even if it is a computerized horoscope. You're opening yourself to the occult. I did have a friend. I haven't seen her now for many years. But she was teaching a course back years ago, Pentecostal Christian, played the piano in the largest Pentecostal church in Minneapolis. And she was home, had a lot of time on her hands. She read a little thing in the newspaper. She wanted a job. She started to study handwriting. Got a degree in it. Would get called on by the courts to come and to decide forgery cases. But that wasn't the main thing that she was studying. As she was studying these things, she was learning how to interpret people. And it just opened her up to all kinds of spirits that eventually it destroyed her family, and she and her husband are now divorced today. By something that was seemingly very innocent, but it smacked of occult practices. There are songs that we sing. And I'll tell you what, I believe we have to be very careful in the Christian realm that by even some of the songs that we sing, that it isn't something that has an ambiguous message and could be used by either side. You're going to be surprised at what I just tell you. There's a song that we like very much, and we have sung it here, that was written by a spiritist. And that's the song In the Garden. And I like that song. And I've been called on to sing it. And I figure, well, you know, my heart is right. And my interpretation of this is different. But it's very ambiguous if you will study the words. Because it says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. The voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Well, you know, that can be interpreted many ways. I'd stay in the garden with him. It doesn't say that that was the Son of God even there. There are other choruses that I have found out to have been written by spiritists. And I was shocked when I found them. And I have endeavored as much as possible. We are going to have songs that have the story of redemption in them and the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
There never was a day like this day to me. There never was a day like this day I see. There never was a light that shineth so bright as this day. That song is sung by the Spiritists, and they like it. And someone told me, I don't know this for sure, that it was written by a Spiritist. We need to ask the Lord to give us discernment on these, that we are not in any way opening up a place for the devil to get in. Now, when we come to Jesus Christ, He forgives our sins. Sometimes we automatically think when we come to Jesus, you know, that has taken care of it. He does forgive our sins. We also know that because of the blood of Jesus, He heals our diseases. We also know that because of the blood of Jesus, the curses that have been upon our life can be eradicated. But we have to take the blood of Jesus and we have to appropriate it to our situation. Why are people not healed when they're prayed for healing? Sometimes it's because there's a curse on their life, but other times it's because people have not known that people haven't been healed because they haven't known that Jesus is the healer. They've had only teaching that He is the Savior. And I'm wanting to speak a little more on this one of these days because He is the healer. And we don't have to say, Lord, if it's Your will to heal them, it is His will. We don't have to say, is it Your will? You don't have to suffer under an affliction that was placed upon you by the enemy. It's His will for you to be healed. It's His will for you to be delivered. It's His will for you to be rid of mental confusion. And we just have to appropriate the blood of Jesus to our own situations. We're going to do that this afternoon. I don't think we can pray too much in this area of the occult. All of us have been touched. Every time we pray, I believe we can get set free just a little bit more or a whole lot more. And we're going to do that. We don't realize how much we're influenced by it coming over the television, by it coming through on the things that we read, the advertisements we see, the things that we buy on the retail counters. There is witchcraft associated with many of the things that are on the store counters when we go through the mall. It's coming through in the music that we hear. Now, as I said, there's a lot of things about this that I don't understand. But God is giving me understanding bit by bit. And I know that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. The victorious one dwells on the inside of you this afternoon. The victorious one dwells on the inside of me. And He in you will break down that stronghold that has been in your life if you want it to be broken down. How many want those strongholds to be broken down this morning? In Jesus' name, we're going to begin to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Glenn, I want you to come and help me. Help me. And the first thing we're going to do, we're going to repent. And I want us to ask the Lord where we are, where we have opened the door. Ask Him to show us where we may have opened the door so we can take back the ground that we've given the enemy. In the name of Jesus, let's begin to pray. Father, I pray that the Spirit of truth, the light of Your Holy Spirit would come in right now to this congregation of people that have gathered here, and we pray for the searchlight to go on in the hearts of each one here. We pray, Lord, that nothing will remain covered over, that You will uncover everything that has opened the door to the occult, that has opened the door to be influenced by the satanic realm of the occult. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, for everyone who has mental weaknesses today, that the searchlight of the Spirit would be upon them in Jesus' name. I pray for the searchlight of the Spirit of God upon myself this afternoon, that there will not be anything that is left unturned, but that all would be exposed to the searchlight of the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask Your forgiveness.
Lord, we ask Your forgiveness.
For harboring spirits of the occult.
For harboring spirits of the occult.
For having opened myself.
For having opened myself.
To the occult realm.
To the occult realm.
I go back four generations.
I go back four generations.
Go back even further than that. We just go back.
Yes.
Through our bloodline.
Yes, Lord. Back in our bloodline.
And I take authority over all the ground that has been given Satan.
And I take authority over all the ground that's been given Satan.
And I break the bondage that has been on my life.
And I break the bondages that have been on my life.
That has come on me because of witchcraft.
That has come on me because of witchcraft.
I take authority. Over false visions.
Over false visions.
False dreams.
False dreams.
Psychic phenomena.
Psychic phenomena.
Astrology.
Astrology.
All of these things.
All of these things.
That would want, where I would want to learn the future.
Where I would want to learn the future.
I take authority over them and I bind them.
I take authority over them and I bind them.
And thank you for forgiving me.
Thank you for forgiving me.
Of having practiced them.
Of having practiced them.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, I come and take authority over these spirits. I come against the powers of the occult, the spirits of the occult, and I bind and break your dominion over these people in the name of Jesus. You spirits of the occult, I bind you, your spirits of witchcraft, your spirits of sorcery. I take authority over you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of the Ouija board, spirits of the occult in all forms, so I break your dominion over these people. I break your dominion over myself, and I loose these people from your authority in Jesus' name. Father, Jesus became a curse that we don't have to bear the curse. And Satan, I appropriate Galatians 3:13 that Jesus became that curse. And I break the curse over myself and over these people in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash and to take the Satan's rights away. That he has no right to my life or to these people's lives because of their involvement in things that bring the curse of the occult upon them or the curse of witchcraft and sorcery. I break those powers and dominions over us this afternoon in Jesus' name and put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and wash. And I take your rights away now, Satan. I take your demon spirits of the occult realm. I take your rights away and command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Mind-binding spirits. Spirits of the mind. Spirits that control the mind. Spirits that torment the mind because of the occult. I break your dominion over us in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Loose us. Come out. Come out. I break all of... And cut the chains. Break the chains. And loose us from their bondage in Jesus' name. We're not bound to you anymore, Satan. We're not bound to your demon spirits anymore. The blood of Jesus cleanses and washes and sets us free. And you evil spirits have to release our minds and come out. You have to use tormenting spirits. Spirits that torment the mind. I break your dominion over us in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. I loose us from your dominion in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. All you spirits of the occult, come out in Jesus' name. Father, I go back and take authority over the familiar spirit that's come down through the family line from the grandmother or grandfather, great-grandmother, great-grandfather who has practiced in these areas and the occult powers that have come down and have been either given to us or followed to us by the spirit of the from the occult. I break your dominion in Jesus' name. You familiar spirits of the occults, I bind and break your dominion over us in the name of the Lord. Spirits of the mind, mind-controlling spirits, spirits of witchcraft and sorcery that torment our minds, I break the powers of it. Spirits of darkness, I break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. You powers of darkness, I bind and break your dominion over our lives in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ is Lord. The blood of Jesus cleanses. The blood of Calvary cleanses. Jesus' blood was shed for the remission of our sins. And at Calvary, He broke your rights, Satan. He took your rights away, Satan, at Calvary. And I break your dominion in Jesus' name. Loose us. Loose us and come out in the name of the Lord. Come on out. Come on. Jesus Christ is Lord. I bind and break your dominion over our lives in Jesus' name. Come out. I loose our minds. I loose the mind. I loose the mind from the powers of the occult. I break the powers of the occult over the mind. I loose it. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, move, move. I break your dominion. I loose us from it in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the authority that you've given us. It is written, Satan, that in Jesus' name, he gives us authority to bind the powers of Satan and to set the captives free, to cast out devils. This afternoon, we're taking that place of authority, and I'm binding your powered devils, and in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out. All the powers of the occult, witchcraft, and sorcery, come out in Jesus' name. Lucifer, come out. The powers of the tarot cards, the Ouija board, fortune-telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, come out. Come out. All the other forms of fortune-telling, come on out in Jesus. All the psychic powers, I break the dominion of the psychic powers in Jesus' name. Come on. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come on. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. I take dominion over the powers of psychic powers that are of Satan, that are not of God. I break that dominion over us in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on out. Father, I bind them to the dead judgment. I take authority and dominion over them and ask for the angels of the Lord to drive them out, to pull them out in Jesus' name and to bind them till the day of judgment when Jesus shall judge them at the day of judgment. Father, I ask you for the angels to take them wherever you want them to be taken. But I bind them till the day of judgment in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Praise you for it. Father, you said you give us authority in Jesus' name over all the powers of Satan. And Father, this afternoon, we take that place of authority in the name of the Lord Jesus. For it is written, Satan, such. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Come out. Come out. Move. Move. Come out. Come out. I break your dominion over us in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. We break your powers, you psychic powers. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. The spirit of loneliness and sorrow that these things have brought in, have brought in with them. Spirit of loneliness and sorrow and rejection. I bind and break your dominion over these people in Jesus' name. Spirit of rejection and sorrow and loneliness that these spirits have brought in with them. I break your dominion over these people. Listen, come out in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. I break your dominion in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ is Lord, and you have to obey in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Father, I thank you for forgiving us, Father, for being involved in any of these occult practices. Father, you said that they're an abomination to you, and that you spew us out of your mouth for practicing them. That they're the abomination of the heathen, and we're not to be partakers of the abominations of the heathen. We're not heathen anymore, Father. We're the children of the Lord. Father, we ask for cleansing and washing from these abominable things that we have either inherited or got our own selves involved in. Father, we break the curses over us. Loose us from it this afternoon in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Is there anything that's come to anybody's mind that you would like for us to deal with? Anything come to your mind that you feel that we ought to deal with? Anger? Okay. I don't know about your background, your father's in the ministry and all that. I don't know where we go with anger, but anger... comes from strong drink is one way. That isn't the only way, but that's one way. And Father, we come against the spirit of anger and rage. Break the curse of strong drink. And I loose us from it in Jesus' name, spirit of anger and rage and murder. I break that curse over us in the name of Jesus. It's come down through our family line, or we've inherited it on our own. I take authority over you, spirits of anger and rage. Break your dominion over us in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Anger and rage and murder, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Spirit of abortion, spirit of murder, I bind you. Spirit of abortion, spirit of murder, come out in Jesus' name. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. Loose us. Come out in the name of the Lord. Break your dominion in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on. Rage, anger, murder, abortion. Abortion, I break the curse of it over man and woman both in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of debauchery, I come against that. I loose us from it. Spirit of debauchery, I break your dominion over our lives. I break your power over us in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Debauchery. Debauchery. Foul thoughts. Evil thoughts. Spirit of debauchery. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. I break your power over us in Jesus' name. Spirit of blasphemy. Spirit of blasphemy. I break the curse of it over us in Jesus' name. Just because your grandfather swore and cursed, or your grandmother, I break the curse of it over you in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. Spirit of debauchery, come out. Spirit of debauchery, spirit of blasphemy, come out in Jesus' name. Move. Come on. Come on. I break your dominion in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the authority of your name and of your word. Thank you for your blood that washes and cleanses. I praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, that you've given unto us this authority, Father, that not even the angels have. You've given it unto your children. And I thank you for it this afternoon, and I praise you for it, Father, and I bless your name. Now, Father, I ask for the Holy Spirit to fill all these areas, Lord, that there's no vacant place, no place swept and clean for Satan to return to or send any of his emissaries to find a place to come back to. I ask, Father, that you fill every area with the Holy Spirit, to fill to overflowing these areas so that we are filled, Father, with no place for Satan to return to find a vessel that's swept and clean, but all vessels full, filled with the Spirit, overflowing, praising and worshiping the Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. I praise you for it. I thank you for it. Father, I thank you for your anointing to rest on each person, your presence and your glory to be manifest to them. Father, that we all study your word and hide it in our hearts. And Father, we thank you for the food that's ready for us to eat. Make it health and strength to us. We thank you for your blessings upon the service tonight and your protection over all those that are traveling and have traveled today. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.